No, most of them have been there. So
No,
Warren's not as fired either.
Okay, so I want to welcome everybody to this special meeting tonight. It's all about the Ped Path, answering questions. And we have Chris Potter on Zoom, and we have Lyndon Priatt from Jones and DeMille live with us to answer. They'll both also answer questions. This meeting is not going any longer than an hour and a half, period. So, as everybody has seen the agenda, we've set it up so that everybody has 3 minutes to ask questions. This should be a good informative night on this pedestrian path. So, let's everybody stand and we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. So welcome. We're in a nice cool room. Feels good. We're going to approve the agenda. I mean, it's pretty simple. Has anybody got anything they want to add or take away from this? All right. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion.
Have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor of approving the agenda as is?
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
And Judy, yes. All right. Jessica spent a ton of time on this pedestrian path. She's done an excellent job. And so we are going to let her give a staff report on this and fill you in to what she has found out and basically how the meeting is going to go tonight.
And Peg, will you? I think it's going to be easier for me to just Peg. I think it's going to be easier for me to go on the other side of the table. So if you'll just make sure and help let
okay.
people know
okay.
you're.
Got it.
Just so you know, I'm really not going to watch it. Okay, thanks. I just feel, instead of talking to, you know, with my back to everyone. Sorry. Okay, so as mic on. All right, as Judy said, last month the committee kind of asked me to kind of go through a lot of the things that had been discussed in the past meetings that we've had on this pedestrian path, questions that have come up, just discussions. And so the past couple of weeks I've really dove in to get the exact details the best that I could of things that have been asked. And I also went through and re-listened to the past meetings, emails that have been submitted of the questions that have been asked and put them into a document that I'm going to kind of go over tonight. And then after we go over it, as you guys ask questions throughout the night, I'll make sure to add them to that document. And then that document will just be put in the for the public to see at all times. So as things come up, it's just one general document. It will be on the town website. This way, if you have a question, it will be there. So we actually have a spot that has the correct information for people to reference back to. So I'll kind of go through both parts of those. And the biggest thing I want to make sure with this is as we started this process, it was Jimmy, having the information, because he was the one who went up to the meeting to be able to present the application to the joint committee. And so as things have come up, we're just glad you made it safe. as things have come up, we just really want to make sure that like you, the town, the people of the town feel comfortable with the information that's been given, and just to kind of give a timeline of things. And so to very first start, so Jones and Emil is the one who called us, the town of Boulder, which they do. We work with them all the time. They are the town's engineers. They help us out on projects. They let us know of certain grants, certain things that are coming through, especially since we don't have like full-time people who are searching for grants and things like that. So this is a normal thing that we work with Jones and Emil on as the engineers. So Lyndon gave Jimmy a call and was like, hey, we have this grant that we think that, I mean, you already have this pedestrian path. We think it could benefit you. We just want you to know, like, if it's something that you want to present. But that's just, they let us know of certain grants that are coming up all the time. And so they talked about it and decided that it was something to look into. Jimmy met with Lyndon on December 15th, and then they kind of took the steps from there. It sounded like it could be something that we could really benefit from. And so then Judy wrote and signed a cover letter for the pedestrian path. It was signed on December 23rd, 2022. Jones and Emil's, a lot of their paperwork, it's dated and signed. I think it's signed. I'll just say dated. It was dated January 4th, 2023. And then the application was submitted on January 11th of 2023. And so just that timeline of, I mean, this keeps getting brought up that we really had this really short timeline of when the information was brought up of when the grant became available that we knew about it. And then the time that we had to submit it. And I actually have, Elizabeth, will you do me a favor actually, since you're over there, on the town website. So if you go to the Firefox.
For 10 minutes.
Like four boxes. It says that it's $19.99. Online.
Okay. All right, Firefox, what do you want? Okay, scroll down. No, you're on the right.
Where is it?
See the joint committee applications. Call for applications.
Julius chair is here.
Yeah, you definitely could. Okay, so this is the paper that Chris Potter sends out as it's his job to the state, just saying like this is the applicant or this is the grant that is on. Yes, and to call for applications. Thanks, Lyndon. Yeah, it's that.
I'm trying to share it though.
The one on the right.
No, it's not.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's loading.
I'm loading.
She's nothing is loading it, but it is loading this that you're asking for.
Don't we just love technology?
So you want to talk about it, and when it comes up, it comes up.
Yeah, I mean,
if you want, I can bring the thing, pull it up.
The document just basically says the date, so it's just the dates that kind of everyone's been asking about, and it says that the application had to be submitted on January 13th.
We're in this meeting. Then. Peg, if you can bring it up and share your screen, it might be faster.
I'm trying to right now, and I'm still opening Word, so.
Okay. I believe it downloaded twice. If you go to the downloads folder, you might find it there.
This is assuming you know how to use this computer. Thank you.
Seriously. Okay,
there you go.
Okay, so as you can see, so this is the call for new Joint Highway Committee project applications. So this just says, you know, it's exactly what it says, project application schedule. And so this was specifically sent out on October 3rd, 2022. This is that thing. We don't have staff that just looks around for grants and reads emails. And so then by the time that Jones and DeMille picked it up and just let us know that it was available, we were already in December. And if you can see, so the January 13th, 2023, all applications are due. And so if you, the application itself was actually submitted on January 11th. So this timeline from the very first conversation that Jimmy had and Lyndon had to the day that it was actually submitted was 3 weeks. And that includes, it was Christmas. So like working days, like almost, what am I, like 10 of those days were actually days that businesses weren't open because it was during Christmas time. So it was 3 weeks between those timeframes. And then Jimmy actually went up to Salt Lake on February 15th. So that's where that date keeps getting into play. Also, if you'll see, it doesn't actually say the date on there, but it's the March one. And so he went up on February 15th and actually presented this to the joint committee. And as this was being presented, the application was put in to, hang on, I want to make sure that I say the exact words right of the exact, it's to, not update, to improve. What is the word? What are we doing to that?
Upgrading?
Thanks. Holy cow. Goodness. Sorry, lack of words. To upgrade the path, the walking or the gravel path that exists, and then to make it ADA. As we went into this, this specific grant isn't just an ADA grant. That's not, it's a, Lyndon, tell me what this grant is exactly. I forget the title of it. It's a transportation
alternative program.
Yes, that's funding. Yes. So that's who it's through. So it's a transportation and transportation also meaning your feet, your bike, your scooter, whatever, all sorts of transportation. So that's how this grant actually came through, was through that. Now, when it was time to present it, ADA was one of the biggest points. So we have nothing ADA in this town. And so that includes people who are in a wheelchair, who have prosthetics, who just are not able to have a working body correctly on that's ADA. It's not just wheelchairs. And so as they heard this, they were like, oh, you have nothing that's ADA. This is extremely important to us. And it's really important to the state at this time. The state has had conversations about trying to make things more ADA. The government is as well. And so that's what brought us back up. So originally it was going to be given in 2026. Was going to be awarded there. And because they heard that we had nothing, it was important for them and they saw the need for that. And so that's what jumped it up to us being able to have it in 2025. And so as this information has come about, we are still in the such beginning phases of all of this. I mean, it's not even all the way through the process. So you can see August 2023, final STIP is approved. So right now we're through the process of the committee has said, yes, your application is great. We would love to be able to fund this project for you, but it's actually not even finalized as this says. And so a lot of the conversation has been like, where's the paperwork? Where's the contract? Things like that. And just to remind everyone that we're in such the beginning state of a lot of this. And this is why, I mean, this is kind of why I wanted to make sure that everyone could see this timeline. A lot of these things we don't have because it isn't actually public yet, because they haven't even gone through their entire committee. Now we have, I've posted it in the previous ones. It's like the UDOT website that actually shows that the funds, it's bolder. It says the amount, says that. Right now it's like their minutes. I attached the minutes from their February meeting stating that they were giving us the money that they moved us up. And so those are the things right now that if you're wanting like the documentation, you're wanting the proof, those are kind of the only things that we have right now to be able to show you the proof that we were given this and that's what we have, because we're in the very first stages of this. And so just to make sure that we kind of really see here where we are in this. And this also brings up, so the past couple meetings we kept talking about as a council that there was, you know, this deadline that we had to meet because we either needed to say yes or no to this money. And it's a different kind of a conversation of as we went forward to this grant, yes, we want the money. We wouldn't have asked for it or we wouldn't have applied for the grant if we didn't want the project to actually go through. But as you can see, we aren't actually in the stages where anything is finalized. No contracts have been signed, nothing like that. And so it's not that we are necessarily tied to this money at this exact time. Like there isn't contract signed. So as we go forward, just all this, just really remembering very first stages. And so a lot of the other questions too, certain things of wanting details. What is your plan for this? What have you decided to do this? We, again, being in such the beginning phases of this, this isn't something that I think any of you want us to necessarily have the answers for. None of us have the engineering background, the education, the knowledge that someone else has. And so part of this project is next year, 2024, I think it's either in August or October, kind of we start the plans, and you will actually put a project manager in place. Once that project manager is put into place, that's who answers all these questions. So we give them the rough plans. We're like, here's what we would like to do. Now you help us figure out all the details. You know, how do we make sure that traffic is controlled? How do we make sure that the businesses aren't as affected greatly as these projects are going through? These are all those things that we hire that project manager for. And so we could give you answers, but at this point it would just be speculation because we don't have those exact answers going forward because we aren't. And there will be a project manager for that. And so kind of in these steps of, we can have certain plans and we have those plans and that's what's been submitted. But some of it, we just don't have the detail. And again, I don't think you would want us to have those details necessarily because they're just truly speculation at this time. And so I think that's the biggest thing. I just wanted to be able to kind of present that, just remind everyone kind of where we are in this path as we talk about this. And that as we go forward, the town council really is invested in making sure that we do this the best way that we can, including all of the town comments, making sure that we answer the questions, making sure that we get the documentation that is included. And so then my next one that I'm going to go through is the question and answer. And so again, maybe you asked a question and it was close to this wording, maybe not exactly, and I just compiled a lot of the questions. And so I'm going to try and answer some of those. And I don't have it on there yet to share. Right now, I just have it and I'll just answer them as they come. And then this will be something later that I will share to the public. And like I said, as we go on, I'll ask, or I will add on your questions as well. And if you hear your question already being answered, please just make sure to not repeat it for our time-wise, because we are trying to keep this meeting at a very normal, not 4-hour meeting. Okay, so the very first question is, where is this exact path going? And linked in with the application, and this has been submitted quite a few times through the agenda. I've put it on the website. It's not something that we've kept to ourselves. It's been very public. So as of right now, July 19th, 2023, we have presented based on the December 2022 Boulder Pedestrian Path Project. And so it's the actual project of the application that was submitted. The path goes from the south side of the Boulder Town Pavilion down along the existing gravel path through the town park in front of the Boulder Mountain Lodge and Burr Trail, going across the Burr Trail Road. I mean, of course, the gravel will go across, but they're, you know, and finishing at Kelly Roundy's road just before the government corrals. Now, since this was submitted in December, we have recently asked to change it to stop at the Burr Trail Grill and don't have it go down to the government corrals. We would then take the path from the south side of the pavilion up to the pavilion entrances, around to the bathrooms, and then over to the wooden bridge. This way, the entire pavilion then becomes ADA accessible. So as soon as they get out of the car, they can get right onto the cement, go to the bridge. They can go up to the two entrances of the pavilion and get down to the bathrooms. And then it would actually make it ADA all the way from the pavilion down to the Burr Trail. And so that was something that we have asked to have changed. And it is something that, you know, they were like, we're sure that it's something that we would actually have to present to the committee to be able to ask for the changes. But as it's been, they've said, you know, that's not a big change. You're just taking a portion from here and putting it up here. Sounds very doable. And we would love to make sure that area is all ADA approved. Why exactly 8 feet? And this has been a pretty big part of this. And so the 8 feet is for it to be considered a bike path. So the 8 feet is this exact term for it to be a bike path. ADA is 5 feet. And so when constructing this, the cement concrete. The concrete, I was like, Lyndon's going to get mad at me if I don't say concrete. The concrete itself, so to make it the 8 feet, this is also a bike pathway. And so bike, walking, riding, riding a bike, a scooter, any of those things. And then the ADA is actually for 5 feet. And so when going over this, that was just something that Jones and DeMille helped us go through the decision of that if we're going to put this in, and especially through the park and along the highway, that it is a bike path. It is out of cement. It's not the asphalt, but it is still a bike path, putting it at the 8 feet. And so if it is something that you didn't want to do it at 8 feet, that's not set in stone. We do want to keep it at least the 5 feet for ADA. But if we're going to go through this, it would, 8 feet is what makes it a bike path. Why concrete? So based on conversations with UDOT and Jones and DeMille, it was presented as the most cost-efficient and easiest for Boulder to maintain. And I think a lot of the conversation of that is just remembering how remote we are. And like, so for us to do asphalt, what that costs for us to get asphalt in here for a project like this. It is much easier for us to get in concrete. And so then the cost goes down, things like that. And so we don't necessarily have the cost breakdown of what, because they submitted it as the concrete. And so that is why at this point it was submitted with the concrete. What about the concrete, or what about cracking in the concrete? So to protect it, there will be a sealant that will be added to it to help make sure that it lasts longer. And also, can we color the concrete? Yes, the town can decide if they want to color it. The color is kind of up to us. Every one of these little things adds a little bit of a cost to it, but it's pretty minute in the grand scheme of making sure that it does fit what the town wants and likes. Does the town's liability go up by making it concrete? As with the rest of the public grounds in Boulder, we have liability insurance if anyone ever tries to sue the town. If someone breaks their arm, crashes their bike on the concrete, or falls out of the swing at the park and breaks their arm, it's all the same. At this point, there hasn't been research, like we haven't actually called our insurance and asked if there would be an increase or not, but it's the same risk, of just having the public have access to things. The town's cost, what exactly is it? So the town is responsible for covering 6.77% of the total cost. This, the 6.77, it doesn't actually list it in the application that was submitted. In the application, it states $46,239, but on that form that I showed you, the call for applications, it shows that the town is responsible for 6.77. So those two numbers are in two different spots, but they're in the documents that I put on. The town currently has this money already to cover the funds from a specific funding source, road BNC money. As for right now, Garfield County has committed to $10,000 and told us to come back next year and ask again for more money. We are also looking into other options to help cover the funds. And we do not have an estimated comprehensive maintenance plan yet, just because we don't know the final of what this project will look like. That will include costs and other things, but the town does know that we are responsible for the maintenance and will come up with a plan as the project moves on further. We just don't know the exact plan yet, so we can't really make a maintenance agreement until we have that information. Or not a maintenance agreement, sorry. No, like have the maintenance written out. Plan. What are road BNC funds and what can they be used for? So when we talk about this, like where this money comes out of. So road BNC funds provide assistance that continues to counties and incorporated municipalities for the improvement of roads and streets throughout the state. The funds can be used to help with transportation purposes. Why is the town not using the road BNC funds for other projects in Boulder, like redoing the King's Estate roads? We have asked the county to redo the King's Estate roads, and they have it on their list, but it's on their time frame. To also help with this, because that is our cost, we have the funds, but it's one of those, just because we have the funds doesn't mean that we should necessarily have to cover the whole funds. So right now, the town is looking into other grants to help us cover those costs as well, while being able to do the roads. Another question is, why is the town not using the road BNC funds to help with the housing problem in Boulder or other projects needed in Boulder? And so kind of as stated before, the funds have to be used for transportation purposes. It is the town's money, but there are different things that they're allocated for and that we're allowed to put that money towards. Who do you plan on maintaining the path, and where will those funds come from to pay that person? Boulder Town has a maintenance person who will be in charge of maintaining it. There will be clearing of loose debris off of the path. And again, we only know so much. We can only plan for so much. We know there will be maintenance. We have a maintenance person right now who maintains the path. So those costs will come in as we go through. What about the maintenance of snow removal in the winter? So Boulder already has a side-by-side UTV with a snowplow attachment that can clear the snow very fast. It just drives it up and down. But we also are not actually required to remove the snow. We can have signs with wording like no maintenance during winter months, use at your own risk, certain things like that. I mean, I don't know how this gets talked about a lot, like the Bryce Canyon path. They don't ever plow that. You are not actually required to, as long as we do put the signs up that you're not actually maintaining it. Are we required to have lights to light up the pathway? Based on conversations with UDOT representatives, we are not required to have lights on the path. How long will this project take? Based on conversations with Jones and DeMille, it is estimated that once the work actually begins, it will take about 60 to 90 days. What time of year will they be doing the work? We aren't really sure yet. We can recommend that as we get closer, closer to the project, and it will depend on the work crew's availability. And so we can definitely set the time frame. You know, like this is much better for us to do in July and August when there's not as many tourists, but there's still some. Maybe it's better to do in January and February. We can say that, and then it is up to, you know, people who put in the bids. Maybe that's not available for them. But we go through that process of working with someone to figure out exactly when. So it'll be about 2 to 3 months. And at this time, we don't actually know, just because, again, we're so in the beginning of the project. What time of year will we? Yes, sorry, same thing. Can you guarantee there won't be any effects on the businesses during this time? There is no way for us to 100% guarantee that there will be no effect during construction. When making plans with the project manager, the town will make sure they know the importance of ensuring the businesses are affected as little as possible, such as asking them to do part of the path in front of the Boulder Mountain Lodge and Bird Trail Grill, either in low tourist seasons or in the winter. Also making sure that we keep the driveways open. Thankfully, both businesses that are the most affected do have two driveways, each off of not Highway 12. And so they can work with the businesses to make sure that like the lowest amount of impact happens. But there will be some impact, of course, that's going to happen right there. Where will cars park? Where will the cars park while you do the concrete in front of the Hell's Backbone Grill and Bird Trail Grill and Boulder Mountain Lodge? The cars will not be allowed to be park near or on the path while working on it, but they can park down by the government corrals and then walk, and the town will support the ability to utilize other areas of their businesses, of the businesses' properties to park as well. Can you guarantee the businesses won't lose parking after the cement is put in? At this time, we don't have a definitive answer. Our answer would love to just be, yes, we know 100% it will not be affected. But as the project goes in, I would love to be able to have an actual definitive and not. Right now, we don't. Are ATVs allowed on this path? If no, who makes sure they don't? ATVs and UTVs are not allowed on the path. There will be signs on the path stating what is and isn't allowed. Offenders will be responsible for correlating consequences. Will skateboarders be allowed on this path? Yes. Will horses be allowed? Yes. Who is cleaning up the dog and horse poop left by people who don't clean up after their animals? Just like most everyone else, the owner of the animal is responsible for cleaning up the animal's poop. And at the end of the day, if it isn't cleaned up, then it is the maintenance of the path, or the maintenance person. Where will the water go as it flows down the path? And I think this biggest conversation was actually the part that comes basically from the fire hydrant down to the Burr Trail. And so as it is engineered right now, the path from the Boulder Mountain Lodge to the Burr Trail will be curb and gutter. It will filter down to the catch basin on the corner of the Burr Trail and Highway 12. From the west side of Highway 12, it catches into the existing irrigation ditches and drains. And so it's engineered that way to make sure to catch it all and then run it down across. And then what will we do as a town to provide parking and restrooms for tourists to use. So right now, we do have parking in front of the town pavilion and in front of the town hall. We are also looking into extending the parking at the town pavilion to create more parking. And then the public bathrooms are at the town park are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, seasonally based on freezing temperatures. And so that kind of concludes the question and answer of everything that I think has been brought up before meetings. Yeah. So at this time, we're going to start with Chris Potter. He is on Zoom. And what we're going to do is we're going to open this up to the council. If there's any questions that the council has for Chris Potter, this is your time. And I will say, maybe just, I mean, UDOT is such a big department. So when we say like Chris Potter's here from UDOT, he is, and he definitely has amazing knowledge, but he's not going to be able to answer every single UDOT question. And so just so you actually know Chris Potter, he is a local government programs engineer. So he programs funds into local areas. He doesn't necessarily get into the details of the project. He deals with the programming of the funds of this site. And so that's why we're dealing with Chris Potter right now, is because we still are just in the very beginning stages with the funds. And so hopefully on that side, any questions that you have like that, Chris Potter is your man. And just before you guys start asking, I want to make sure too that as we go into this, we are going to, after the council is done asking their questions, if the public has questions, we'll open that up. But we want to make sure that we're going to use statements instead of comments. Statements are to address compliance with the ordinances and the things that we have in place. Anyone who would like to make a statement, raise your hand. We'll take statements until everyone has had a chance. And then we will circle back. So after everyone has had a chance, then there can be you can then ask another question, but we're really going to try and keep it to the timeline. And so we just want to make sure that we really do give everyone enough time to ask their questions. And please make sure that you walk up to the microphone, state your name, and then you can ask your question.
Procedurally, are we allowed to make a comment and make a question,
or is it? Right now, we are not taking comments, so it is just questions. So these gentlemen are here just to answer any questions that you have. Okay, so for the council, it is your time.
Thanks, Chris. Good job.
Do you want me to go first?
Go for it.
Okay. Gladys Hulabina, Boulder Town Council.
If the town council accepts the project, and let's say maybe after we receive the plans and the information, if we decide we can't afford this, at what point are we, let's see, under contract to do something?
That's for you, Chris.
So let me understand your question. You're saying, I guess I don't fully understand your question. Are you talking, you sign a federal aid agreement, which says you're going to agree to accept these funds and deliver this project, and you start down that road hiring a consultant to design the project, and then you decide you can't afford it? Or is this prior to signing some kind of federal aid agreement? What is your timeline?
Okay, I want to know either way. Why don't you say, okay, you can back out right now. If you back out, quote, after you have hired a contractor, you're responsible for paying him his share. Just kind of a general idea.
Okay, so prior to the town of Boulder actually signing a federal aid agreement, which is an agreement that basically you're going to accept the funds and deliver the project, you could potentially cancel the project at any time. You'll have to notify us of your desire to cancel the project and why, and then we will have to take that to the governor's appointed transportation commission and present why you want to cancel the project, and that's usually not an issue. Obviously, when we award projects, we like to see them built, but we understand that under unique circumstances, it makes sense to cancel a project, so we can do that. Now, once you sign a federal aid agreement, that's when money starts getting spent. The first step will be that UDOT will assign a project manager to manage the project, and they will work with the town of Boulder to get a consultant on board to start the design of the project. Once you start incurring costs, then the town of Boulder is going to have some liability. So after the federal aid agreement's in place, contracts are in place to design it, if it even gets to the point of construction and work starts getting done, anytime after that, that it's canceled, any costs that are incurred, you will be responsible to pay the 6.77% match. Prior to December of last year, if the project did not proceed to construction, the town of Boulder would be responsible for 100% of any costs incurred. But in December of last year, Federal Highways sent out a memorandum notifying us that they are no longer able to require municipalities and state governments to reimburse all federal funds if it doesn't go to construction. So that is a change, and that's a benefit to local governments. You wouldn't be on the hook for the whole amount if you didn't go to construction, but you will have to pay the 6.77% for whatever funds are expended.
Thank you. You answered my question.
Okay.
In addition to that, so that federal aid agreement.
Actually,
I'm just going to say, Chris, maybe clarify when that federal aid agreement would in theory be put in place. Probably it wouldn't be, correct me if I'm wrong, it wouldn't be until probably after October of 2024.
Correct. Yeah. So the funding right now, the project is receiving funding for federal fiscal year 2025. And so the federal fiscal year begins on October 1st of 2024 and runs through September 30th of 2025. So sometime shortly after October 1st, 2024, when the fiscal year 2025 year begins, that's when a project manager would be assigned. And that's one of the first tasks that the project manager is going to do is to meet with the city and get a federal aid agreement in place. Until a federal aid agreement is in place, we cannot expend any funds from the award.
Thank you. Do you have any questions, Jim?
Okay.
Elizabeth? I'm going to wait until after the public asks questions to see what if still have questions. But Judy?
Okay, I'm good.
You're good? Okay. Okay, so we will open it up to...
Steve, I did forget you. I'm sorry, Steve. That was rude.
Thanks. Steve, do you have any questions? He's microphone. Yeah, no. Okay. So we will open it up to public comment. We just want to remind everyone again, so questions only, not comments. And then I meant to have a bigger timer, but I'm just going to put the timer on my phone and it'll be right here for you. So whoever has a question, raise your hand. And this, again, this is for Chris Potter right now. And so he's the one over like the actual funds of the grant.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Don't forget to state your name, whether you're on Zoom or...
Yeah, right up here.
Look, over here.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Bach. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, was the approval for the project contingent on being an 8-foot bike path, or would a 5-foot ADA compliant path also still qualify for the same approval?
Yeah, so what was presented in the application is what has been approved. So if you're going to go in and significantly change it, so instead of it being a multi-use path down to basically a sidewalk that's ADA compliant, that's pretty significant. And so we would expect you to go back to the Joint Highway Committee and propose the change in scope that you are wanting to present. And change the project too.
And maybe just before, sorry. So that question is like with most anything. So if we're just changing small scale things, like so changing the length from the bottom, not putting it down to the government corrals, taking that piece and putting it at the top because it's pretty close to the same. Small changes aren't as big of a deal, but asking for really big changes of any kind, so like changing the surface of it, things like that, all of those types of things have to go back before the committee. So it's not a no necessarily, but you do have to go before the committee.
Okay, I have another question. So what is the least like concrete ADA compliant material you could use on a path like this?
Well, I mean, usually you're looking at asphalt or concrete. You're looking at some kind of hardened surface that has, it's got minimal rolling resistance, obviously for wheelchairs and things like that. It's fairly smooth. So people that struggle to walk, whether it's they're on crutches or whatnot, are not going to trip on it and stuff. It's not just what's the surface and how's it going to comply with ADA, but it's also, you know, long-term durability and maintenance and stuff like that. So there's a lot of components that need to be considered when doing that. But again, what was presented was a concrete path. So if you're going to significantly change that, that's something that would have to be, you'd have to relook at the how much difference in cost that's going to be, whether it's going to cost more or cost less, and come and present that case to the Joint Highway Committee to accept or consider for change, any kind of change in scope and budget.
All right, thank you.
I think Tina had her hand up for a second. Tina, do you have a question?
Yeah, sorry. I think it got answered, but I did have another one. If we did not decide that this was not a project that the town was feeling really secure about doing, would there be some kind of fallback as far as further grants or anything like that?
So, I mean, if you decide that you don't want to proceed with the project, that, you know, that's within your rights to do that. Just so you know, and it might be worth mentioning that the Joint Highway Committee, it's not a group of UDOT employees. It's actually representatives, local government representatives across the state. There's 15 from the cities and 15 from the counties, and they're appointed by the Utah League of Cities and Towns and Utah Association of Counties. So it's actually your own peers that sit on the committee and decide where these local funds are going to go and on which projects. So typically they like to try and be equitable and spread the money around so that the same municipalities aren't getting the money year over year over year, because some of them have more resources and ability to have applications that are much more polished, and maybe they've got more population. And if you just look at the numbers, it maybe makes more sense to award to these municipalities over and over again, whereas more rural areas may have a harder time competing against some of them. So they try and be equitable and spread things around. So if Boulder, you know, Boulder was awarded this project, if they turn it down and then they go and apply next year or the year after, the committee may say, well, you know what, we gave them the money, they turned it down, they've kind of had their turn. So that you may have, you know, they may elect to vote other projects ahead of yours down the road. I don't know. I can't say that. I don't vote. It's them, those 30 individuals that do. And so each of them would potentially have a different take, and what they would, the consensus decision would be, I can't really say.
Thank you.
My name is John Varanth. I've got a couple questions for Chris here. I guess the first one is to clarify, given where we are in the process right now, is there any need for a town council action at this point? And if not, what would be the deadline for the town council to have to take an action?
So right now, the project is included in what's called the draft STIP. STIP stands for Statewide Transportation Improvement Plan or Program. So every project this last spring, whether it's a local government project, a project presented by the municipal planning organizations along the Wasatch Front, or the State Department of Transportation, all those projects are put into this document. And right now it's at a draft stage. It's out currently for public comment. And then once that comment period concludes, all the comments will be addressed. They'll be discussed with the Transportation Commission that we discussed, I mentioned earlier. And then a final version of that will be presented to Federal Highways for their consideration and approval. And then it would be finalized around October 1st. By submitting the application, you've indicated that you want the funding. So it's not like you've kind of already implied that you want the funding. If you change your mind on that, that can happen, like I said, it really any time clear up until the funding becomes available and we want to kick off the project, and there would be no repercussions against the city. But if you change your mind after costs start being incurred, at that point you would have to pay the 6.77% match of any funds that are spent.
Okay, thank you. I may add, you just mentioned that this draft SIP is still out for public comment. If that is the case, could you provide Jessica the information of where to submit the comments?
I actually have it, and it's on the, I didn't put it on this agenda, but it's on the one that we just had the 1st of July. So it's actually connected to there where you can leave the comment. So I'll just I'll put it on this one as well.
Okay, thank you, Jessica. And I guess kind of to build on Jennifer's question, it seems like if we go to the design phase and the community comes up with some dissatisfaction with the current design, you're sort of on a continuum from something minor, like changing the color from terracotta to brown as being minor, to saying that you want to change the endpoints to maybe that you want to move it some distance. So I guess at some point, who makes the call of when it needs to go back to the Joint Committee for justification and reapproval?
Well, you really need to work through and figure out what the scope of the project's going to be before we actually start the project. If you want to start changing your mind in the middle of the design, it's going to affect your schedule, because if it's significant enough, we have to go back through those channels of the Joint Highway Committee to approve it, and then you're going to have to do redesign. And you've been awarded a certain amount of money. So if you exceed that much because you have to go through and do rework because you changed the scope, then that additional cost is going to be paid by the town of Boulder.
So just to wrap this up, then it sounds like the appropriate thing is that the community needs to clarify its scope and probably try very hard to stay within the approved budget.
But before a federal aid agreement is signed and a consultant is hired and you start doing the work, because after that, it's only going to cost you more money, and 100% of that will be coming out of Boulder Town's funds. It will be above and beyond the project funds and your match. So it's in your best interest to decide what you want to do and then move forward, because it gets really expensive when you're, paying consultants and people to start doing that design work.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Jabe Beal, community member. Chris, I have a couple questions for you. Considering land tenure or land ownership, who owns the property that Highway 12 sits on in this section for the trail?
So that's a good question. I actually talked to our Region 4 right-of-way engineer. He's out of our Richfield office. And we do have right-of-way plans for Highway 12 through the town of Boulder. And the right-of-way is is roughly from fence line to fence line. So it kind of varies throughout the corridor. But in Utah law, if there's no right of way defined, it's in law that it says that there's a 66-foot right of way on state roads. So looking at the plans, it varies, like I said, from fence line as those, you know, jog in and out. And in a lot of areas, it's like 100-foot right of way. And in other areas, it's like 38 feet. So it just kind of varies. But UDOT owns the right of way along Highway 12. And I would say probably at least 66 feet of it. So that'd be 33 feet on either side of the center line of the road all the way through the town from what I have observed looking at the plans.
Thank you. Next question. Who does UDOT have the right of way with?
It's the state of Utah. The state of Utah owns it.
So the state of Utah does own it. That was my intent. So thank you. So with that,
I believe that's the case. I think whether it's UDOT owns it or state of Utah, I think they're kind of one and the same. There may be some semantics on that, technicalities. I'm not, well versed in that part of it. I know when we have excess right of way and we sell it, it goes back to the state, and then I think they reallocate it back to us in our transportation fund. You're muted. Okay, there you go.
How about that? Oh, thank you. My next question on that. So considering this section, it's state land with the UDOT has a right of way. Would the town of Boulder have to obtain a right of way to be within the UDOT right of way for encroachment?
So what you should be doing, if you're doing things within our right of way, you should be working with our permits office to get a permit. So, I know there's a lot of businesses along Highway 12. They're using our right of way for customer parking. Technically, you should be getting a permit with UDOT to have them evaluate it and decide whether they're going to allow that. And that would primarily be for safety concerns, I would imagine.
Is that permit based on a time period, or is that in perpetuity?
Again, I'm not an expert on that, but in talking to our right-of-way engineer, there was one business back in 2017 that we were working with about getting a permit, and I want to say it was like there was a fee associated with that, and I think it was a yearly fee. I don't think it was just a one-time deal in perpetuity. So there typically was a cost with that. They didn't want to participate in that, and apparently, according to them, none of the other businesses along the corridor through the town of Boulder had permits, and they were parking within our right of way. And so they said, we're not going to sign it unless everybody along all the businesses along the corridor are signing one as well and paying those fees.
Chris, could you repeat that? You kind of, we had a little technical difficulty on the side.
Yeah. So what was the last part that you heard me talk about? So I don't repeat too much of it.
The discussion that you were having about the business that applied for the
conflict. Okay.
Yeah, so
I don't know if that's what you said, but conflict.
Yeah. So back in 2017, there was a business that UDOT was working with. I don't know the details of it, but UDOT was trying to work with them to obtain a permit to be using our right-of-way, and that business owner did not want to enter into that permit. There is a fee associated with that would be, I believe, a yearly fee, and their case was, and they listed like a dozen businesses along Highway 12 through the town of Boulder saying that they don't have permits, and they're utilizing the right-of-way mainly, I believe, for customers to park along the side of the road, and every business had to have that permit, they felt like they shouldn't have to have that permit. They felt like they were being singled out.
Thank you. Can I ask one more question, Mayor?
Yeah, quick.
So my question is regarding the bike path on the Ponsagon, as well as the new proposed path, a bike path from Glendale to Kanab. It's a two-part question. Is that a UDOT path? And who's responsible for the maintenance of that?
That we're trying to keep this to us.
I think it's relevant.
All right.
So you said the first path was what? The
ponds have gone up on Bryce Canyon National Park.
Yeah, I don't know the particular details of that path, so I can't really answer for that. I manage these programs and I'm familiar with the projects, and in particular this one. I can't answer about other projects. They could be local governments. That one over there by Bryce Canyon. I know John Holland with the Scenic Byway 12, All American Road. His committee was heavily involved in helping to get that path together. It now extends and goes into the national park. So I don't know who has ultimate responsibility for maintaining that. It's probably some kind of a multi-agency maintenance agreement that, you know, depending on where you are in the path, the responsible municipality or agency will maintain that section. But I don't know. I don't have that kind of detail. That was built, you know, like 10 years ago, and I wasn't involved with that.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
My name is Bill Guile, and I have one question for Chris Potter. And it's going to be based on a hypothetical, so I'll give that first. So the hypothetical is the town of Boulder, through more meetings, comes together with a scope that most people agree upon that is different from the one that the application is based on. And for just for illustrative purposes, let's say the consensus is to reduce the width of the path to 5 feet and to change the surface from concrete to asphalt. So then it would need, based on what I've heard thus far, it would need to go back to the Joint Highway Committee. And I'd like for you to sort of walk us through the mechanics of that and a rough timeline.
Yeah, so it kind of depends on how significant the change in scope and budget is going to be. I think what you just proposed, going from an 8-foot path to a 5-foot path, that's pretty significant, because now you're reducing the users that could be using the path that was originally proposed, right? Because if it's a sidewalk, 5-foot sidewalk, you're typically not going to allow bikes on that, because a bike and a person can't pass each other with probably hitting each other. And going from concrete to asphalt, that's a completely different surface. And I would imagine that Jones and DeMille proposed concrete not only because it's a durable product, but also it was probably the more economical product. Asphalt to be laid down for paving typically needs to be around 280 degrees. And so you would have to, I think probably one of the closest sources for a hot mix asphalt plant is Richfield. So you're looking at a 2-hour commute trying to keep that asphalt at 280 plus degrees. There's a lot of concerns and issues with that. And typically when you do an asphalt project in a remote area, a lot of times the contractor will actually set up a remote asphalt batch plant to do that. But this project and the quantities are going to be so small, it would not be cost effective to do that. So there's a lot of concerns and issues with doing asphalt at all. And then just the long-term wear and tear and durability of asphalt. If you put down a 4-inch asphalt, you know, earlier they talked about concerns with concrete cracking. Well, if the base is put down and it's done properly and it's solid, then you can go in and you can cut expansion joints into that and control where the cracking occurs. And it's typically going to be very durable and last a long time, especially if you're just seeing light traffic, bikes and pedestrians and things like that. With asphalt, it's going to freeze, it's going to thaw, it will crack. There's a walking path right by my work that I've been on multiple times. It cracks, then grass and weeds and stuff start growing through it and stuff. So, you know, what you're proposing, there is a lot of change of scope and associated budget with that. And so that would be a situation where I would say you probably don't just come to a joint highway committee meeting, which they have twice a year, and say, hey, we want to do this because it's a significant change. What I would suggest is that you need to do a completely new application and submit it, and it will go through the regular application process like you did this last year. And basically what you would outline in your application is, hey, we've been awarded this money to do this project, but now we want to do this instead. And you would highlight what the differences are and detail out what the new costs are going to be for the reduced side, you know, the reduced path from a bike path to a 5-foot sidewalk, change of material, all that stuff, which will maybe negligible since you're going to be using less material for a 5-foot path, but more for asphalt. It may be more, maybe less. I don't know, but it's so significant. You're basically, it's almost like a totally different project, other than the alignment's going to stay roughly the same. So,
yeah, that's understood. But I was more interested in not the merits of the hypothetical, but the time frame in going to the Joint Highway Committee with whatever consensus the town of Boulder comes to as to the design.
Yeah, so if it's minor enough that I wouldn't recommend that you have to reapply, they have their meetings every 6 months, roughly. So the next meeting of the Joint Highway Committee is September 15th. So you could come to that meeting or you could come to the spring meeting. If it's determined that it's significant enough that you need to redo the application, which in your example, I would say is the case, the application period opens October 1st and it closes the second Friday in January. If you don't make it through this application period, then the next opportunity would be the next year when the funding is available. And that's, you know, that's not the ideal time to be going through that process because, you know, the funding's available. We want to be putting that to work. We don't want to just sitting there while the city's kind of working through things and trying to decide what they want to do. Because the money's not doing us any good if it's just sitting there. We'd like to put it on your project or a different project if you're not gonna be ready for it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to throw a wrench in the works here. I get the sense just living here that with enough public input that the scope might change somewhat. Okay, I don't think the town of Boulder wants to lose the funding, but they may want some input into what the final project looks like, not the alignment, but the width and the material. I guess asphalt I threw out as a hypothetical, but even if it remains concrete, from a maintenance standpoint, I'm not worried about cracking per se, but I am worried about spalling and freeze thaw.
I want to make sure, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but just at this point, we are so short on time and now it's just that. And so I think he's answered the question unless you have a different question.
The question derailed because I gave two hypotheticals that he said would require a resubmission. So I'm trying to go back and ask if we do some change to it versus zero change, and we went to the joint council. I guess the answer is that we would have to present that by September 15th of this year. Is that correct?
It just depends on how significant the change is. If it's fairly minor, you could take it to the Joint Highway Committee on September 15th. If it's basically so very extensive, like you kind of initially proposed changing concrete to asphalt, changing the width, all those things, in my opinion, you need to resubmit your application. And it would kind of go through the whole process, which would start October 1st when the application period opens and go clear through this time next year as we're, you know, going through that process.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And the funding that is currently in the draft STIP and more likely than not going to be approved, you know, that funding is there for what you asked for. But when you start changing what you asked for, there's kind of no guarantees at that point because you're asking for something different than what it was approved on. And so the funding is contingent upon what you originally applied for. And so that's going to be up to the Joint Highway Committee to decide, not me.
Hey, Chris, Lyndon here. Another thing maybe to point out as part of that question, he's wondering about a time frame. So this type of funding, this is the first year, remind me, Chris, I think this is the first year in 3 or 4 years that it had become available. When you apply, it's typically 3 years out, 2 to 3 years out until you can actually, the project comes to fruition. That's assuming there's money. They had money, they've been saving up for several years, and this is the first year they reopened it. And you never know if the funding's going to be there in 3 years when you decide if you want to apply again. So just a good clarification.
Thank you.
Chris, this is Nancy Tosta. I have a question. There are places along the current path that are fairly narrow and are under mature trees. Is it possible that trees will have to be removed to build this path? And if so, are there mitigation measures that will be put in place to try to ensure that the path isn't very hot all the time?
That's probably a question that maybe Lyndon can answer since he's actually walked the path and kind of done the alignment. But my understanding is basically the existing gravel path that's there is going to be the exact same alignment of the new path, and the old path is about the same width. And so we're really just talking about compacting and improving the base on top of the existing path and then putting a new concrete riding surface on that. And so if the current path is not impacting any trees, based off of my understanding, which is somewhat limited, just based off of what's on the application, I don't see why it would impact trees. But if it were to, you know, if we can meander it, the path gradually away from those and then back onto the normal alignment, I don't see why we wouldn't try and accommodate and do some of those things.
I would concur.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Chris, this is Josh Ellis. I filed a grandma request. So appreciate your response there. And I noticed in the meeting minutes for the Joint Highway Committee that I was sent, the funding from Boulder was actually voted to be kicked up from 2026 to 2025. So the project was moved up a year. Is it possible to not do that?
Yeah, I mean, so the situation was like Lyndon Fryant had said, we typically get a fairly limited amount of these transportation alternative program funds each year. And so what we were doing is we were awarding all those funds each year, but there was really never enough money to actually build anything. We were just doing like transportation master plans and things like that. And we finally decided, you know what, we can have all the transportation master plans we want sitting on the shelf, but until there's some money available to build anything, we're not going to see any improvements. So we put this program on hold for 3 years to try and build up some funds so that we could actually award something. So when we did this
opened this up for applications, we had funding for fiscal years 2024, 2025, and 2026. And a lot of the applicants were asking for the 2026 money, but we needed to fill some slots earlier because if we don't use the money, then we risk losing it. And so we asked if any of the projects would be able to and would be willing to move up into any of the 2024, 2025 slots. And Boulder said that they think that that's something that they could do. And so, yeah, we moved that forward. Yeah, we could push it back. We don't even necessarily have to go in and program it and push it back. The funding is available in 2025. And typically you have about 3 years, as long as there's if there's no activity on that project within 3 years from the time the funding becomes available, that's when Federal Highways starts asking questions and the money could potentially be in jeopardy. Again, we when we put money on projects, we really pride ourselves in Utah at putting that money to work and getting it delivered. We have performance metrics to demonstrate that. So if money's just sitting on a project and it's not going anywhere, leadership's going to be looking at that, asking the questions and saying, why isn't this money being put to work? Should we put it someplace else? And so, I'm not saying we couldn't push it back. We certainly could. But I guess we would want to know what's a compelling reason to do that. I mean, is it because if you don't get the answer you want, you just want to wait out the city council terms, the mayor terms till they're gone. And when you get new people that may, be in alignment with what a group of people want, or, what is the reason?
Well, I mean, I think the reason would be more than maybe three people's input into this design. That is a pretty compelling reason, I feel like.
Right.
This is a good chance to build community.
Right.
And it seems like we're using it to tear it apart instead. But anyway, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you showing up tonight.
Thanks for your question.
I had one thing to add, Chris. The downfall to extending it another year, then you've got inflation that the cost of construction now is, last year was 10%. So you're going to lose 10% of your ability to put that on the ground.
That's a good point, Lyndon.
Clarification.
Okay, and I will say, I mean, at this point, we have 15 minutes left, and it would be great to be able to hear from Lyndon if anyone.
Can I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, with the meeting, we are going to stop at 7:30.
Sure, so. Sure. My name is Shelley Price Gibson, Chris, and my only question is once, if this project is approved and it's all in and done, and we find something wrong, like water that flows there constantly or something happens to the path, is it the town's responsibility, or if it's something that was existing before, would you help us cover it?
That can be a really complex question, and it's hard to answer that. I mean, if it's something that was overlooked during the design, then that, potentially could go back on the consultant that's hired to do it, and their liability insurance would need to cover that. If it's just something that is completely unforeseen and nobody knows, this is a project that is Boulder Town's project, and the money was provided by the federal government. These are federal funds. They come through UDOT because we have stewardship over those federal funds. That's how Federal Highways wants it. So I don't see the state necessarily coming in and saying, yeah, we'll fix that issue that was a completely unforeseen, nobody else is liable. That would be something that the town would have to work through. But we're talking about a fairly simple infrastructure project. It's, some road base and either concrete or asphalt. If a spring or something occurred there and a 10 or 20 foot section of the path, became a marsh or something like that, you're not talking about a huge effort to go in and maybe build a wooden path to span that with some, concrete little pylons and things like that to support it in a sub base. And it's probably something your maintenance guys could do. It's not like you're installing a $5 million bridge. And if it starts sinking or failing or something like that, then, oh no, what do we do? You know, there it's pretty basic infrastructure. And the benefit that you have is you already have the path that's been in place for quite a long time. If you haven't seen an issue with that path yet, you know, experience would suggest that you're not going to have an issue with it going forward either. But nobody knows.
Fine.
I'd like to ask a question.
My name is Blake Spaulding, and I represent one of the four primarily impacted businesses. So that corner right there employs in total about 50 people in town. I have never heard, we've had our business for 24 years, I've never heard that we needed to apply for a permit for parking. I wish I'd known. My question is that it was stated in the original application that the point of this was to keep people from parking on the path. It has also been stated now that the path has been moved from the government corrals and is now going to wind around into the town pavilion, fix the town pavilion for ADA purposes and the bathrooms. That seems like a pretty extensive change to me. I wonder if it's possible to start the path just beyond where the impacted businesses will be, because we've all had a rough number of years. And so my question would be, who is determining what's a mega change and what's a minor change? Because changing it from the government corrals up to the town pavilion seems like a mega change. And if it's only to get rid of parking, then I just want to know, is it possible that we could change it and start it just beyond the Boulder Mountain Lodge, for the record?
So I kind of am the one that evaluates any kind of changes in the scope and works with the Joint Highway Committee Executive Committee to determine, is this something that just the committee can discuss at one of their semi-annual meetings, or do we need to go through a reapplication on that? Earlier in the meeting, I think Jessica said that, you know, they've already discussed, you know, ending it before the government corrals at the Birch Trail Road and then taking it further up to the pavilion and stuff. Those are conversations maybe that the city council has had. Nothing has formally been presented to me for consideration to determine what level of involvement does the Joint Highway Committee have to be involved. So again, the town really needs to come to a consensus on what it is they want. And once you're in 100% agreement, then at that point, we'll go and we'll take it, you know, through the process, whatever that process needs to be. But, you know, we really want to have the town be all on the same page and in consensus what they want, because, you know, the Joint Highway Committee only meets every 6 months, and we can't be going to them every 6 months changing it and changing it and changing it. You guys need to get in consensus on what you want to do, and then we'll take it to them and propose it.
One more question, Chris. Is it in your awareness that this has been extraordinarily controversial and that people all over town are fighting about it, and that there's serious allegations of ethics violations before this town council right now, and that this is like a really controversial thing and it feels that it's intended to harm the business community? Are you aware of that?
I am aware that it's very controversial. As stated earlier, I've received grammar requests. I have received correspondence from current and past elected officials. Of the 26 or so some odd projects that the Joint Highway Committee recommended for funding this year, this is the only project that I have gotten any correspondence on. So yes, I am fully aware of that. But as UDOT, I'm not here to weigh in on that issue. This is a local issue that your community needs to figure out and decide. There's three different options that I see, you know, happening. You can either continue with the project as proposed and funded, and it'll be delivered. You can, as a community, decide that it's not what you want and get your community city council on board to cancel the project. Or you can come up with some kind of hybrid of what you can all agree on that's different than the original scope and budget that was presented. And then that would have to be presented through the Joint Highway Committee for approval. Those are your three options, but UDOT's not going to weigh in and say, you know, get into the politics of and stuff. As long as it is that the funding meets the project meets the funding requirements and the other design requirements and things like that, it's really up to the locals to decide. And that's why the Joint Highway Committee is there. With federal funds that are designated for local governments, it requires that there's local government involvement on where those funds go. And so we do that through this Joint Highway Committee. So it's the Joint Highway Committee, which is composed of local government people, employees, that do that. And so we need to be careful as a state DOT that we're not in there getting involved in the politics and directing it. As long as the project meets the funding requirements and follows design and safety requirements and all that, then we're okay with it.
So just for the record, if you can say what our real timing is around when we have to have things finalized with resolutions from the town council, and if it needs to go through planning commission, I would be grateful. And I thank you for your time.
So again, that all kind of depends. I mean, you can turn down this funding at any time. But if you're just talking minor changes, there's a couple city Joint Highway Committee meetings between now and when the funding becomes available October 1st. There's this fall meeting, and there's the spring and fall meetings of 2024, where you could get any minor changes of scope approved and still stay on schedule to kick off the project around October-ish of 2024. If your proposed change in scope is significant enough that we feel like you need to go through an amended application process, we only do that once a year. And so if you don't come to a consensus and submit an amended application this fall, then you wouldn't be able to submit one at the earliest until October of 2024, which now puts all that funding sitting there for 6 months to a year not being put to use, because we're going through this application process to consider your amended application.
Has there ever been monies allocated to remove one of these things once it's been put in, if it didn't work out the way the town wanted in any community in the state?
So are you talking, I guess I don't fully understand your question. Are you saying if it's programmed, has there ever been a town that's turned down the project and not accepted funds?
And if it fails or it becomes problematic, has there been monies allocated for mitigation or removal of it, or is it a lifetime, like generational commitment to this thing?
Yeah, so the contract you're going to sign is not with the state of Utah. The federal aid agreement you're going to sign is with federal highways, the federal highway department. So yeah, if you build the path and something happens, the state's not going to come in and fix those problems for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so it is now 7:27. I think that as Lyndon is here, I would love for the council to be able to ask any questions that they have for Lyndon, and then we will finish up the meeting.
Okay, so tell us who Lyndon
is. Okay, so Lyndon is the, Lyndon here, you can tell who you are.
Right?
Lyndon Bryant with Jones and Mill Engineering. I was the one that contacted Jimmy about, you know, if there would be interest in applying for these funds for the local governments.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I do. Okay, so we're looking at this project. So if we decide, no, we only want a 5-foot path, and we go back to the state, isn't that going to, when we're having an 8-foot path, we're doing it for bicycles and we're doing it ADA. If we go back to 5-foot, it's only ADA, right?
Correct.
So that's going to affect probably their perception of what the trail is actually for.
Yep, correct.
Okay. And I'm assuming Jones and DeMille, when they went with the proposal, they looked at, okay, cost and probably maintenance and everything concrete as opposed to asphalt. So that's why you recommended concrete.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Jimmy?
I'm good. I've already asked him all my questions.
Elizabeth?
I guess I think that Chris addressed this a little bit, but just for the clarity, because it is a federal highway committee, federal highway administration,
the FHWA.
Yeah, thank you. Because it's that, there are additional contracts that need to be made because it is through it's funded federally. Will Jones and DeMille be creating those, or is that something?
No. So once the project funds become available October 2024 in the current time frame, UDOT will create a project identification number, a PIN is what it's referred to. And at that time, when the PIN is created, there will be a project manager from UDOT assigned to manage that project. Then they will work with you to select a consultant and get a contract in place for the consultant to design the project. And hopefully that's where we would come in. So, yeah.
And because at this point, in the application itself that you worked with Jimmy and Judy on,
mm-hmm.
that is just a preliminary application because it doesn't yet have all the details. Is that
so? It is a proposed scope. It's a very high level, 30,000 foot, so to speak, level application. This is what we want to do. And then as you get that agreement in place and you get designing it, that's when you start getting to the landing gear down. And
so if additional fees are needed, whether it's because of it being federal and not a state thing, and there's all sorts of different regulations, are you saying that those fees are included in the scope of the project or
correct? Separate? If you pulled up the application, you could see a construction cost, preliminary engineering cost, and a construction engineering cost. Because you have to follow a federal process both for design and for the construction. And the money's estimated in the current application, it covers that.
Okay. And that includes, because of the NEPA, it includes the...
The NEPA, yeah, the environmental work, exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
I do have more questions, but I know because of time, and I think I'm just going to say at this point, it seems like, you know, at this point, this initial work meeting was, or special meeting, whatever we call it, was an informational session of gathering facts. And it seems appropriate at this point that we have an additional work meeting to keep working through it as a community, because our responsibility as a town council is to act for the people of our community and to make sure that we're upholding our procedures and everything like that. And it doesn't seem that everybody that in the public was able to ask all their questions, and that it's more discussions needed. So I make a recommendation that we have a work meeting either before our next regular meeting or separate, because it seems like this topic alone needs more time to have a consensus as a community.
I do have one question. With the change in putting the ADA up to the pavilion and down to the restrooms, is that considered a significant change that we're going to have to go back to the joint committee with?
I think Chris answered that. You know, that's something to be to work through him on. I can't, that would be Chris to answer that.
Okay, yeah. So we would.
And yeah, I would say yes. And I might add that, so back in November, Governor Cox discussed a vision that he had that has now been implemented to build a trail network across the state of Utah, connecting towns and cities. And the legislature, this last legislative session, allocated $90 million in the first year and up to $45 million each consecutive year after that in ongoing funds to build out this trail network. And UDOT has created a transit and trails group to help deliver that program. And so they're not looking at putting, you know, 5-foot sidewalks along here. They're looking at multi-use paths so you can have bikes, pedestrians, horses, and things like that. So, you know, this is a popular area with lots of small towns, a lot of tourism and things like that. And so to me, it would make sense to put something in there that's consistent with what the governor's wanting to do and going to be doing across the state. Because if you put in a 5-foot sidewalk on the right side of the road, if it's not adequate for the trail network that, you know, is being proposed across the state, then they may come in and put a multi-use trail on the other side to meet that objective. So just a thought. I don't know how many people are aware of that, but the governor has made a commitment. The legislature supported that. And we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in the next decade to build out this trail network. And that's why everyone was so supportive of this and other similar projects that were awarded through the Joint Highway Committee, is because it was consistent with the vision that the governor has already laid out and that the legislature clearly has supported by providing funding for it.
And that's specifically the multi-use.
Correct.
Thank you.
Very good. Thanks.
I do have a couple more questions. So the application identifies this as a connected action with the Bird Trail intersection. And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but that my understanding is that saying that this is phase one of something, and then it's connected to the phase two. So at what point is that funding, and who's responsible for the phase two funding?
Yes. So through the Joint Highway Committee, there are several subcommittees. So the bike path was funded through the non-urban TAP funding.
Yeah.
And we also put in an application through the non-urban fund, the non-urban fund, which addresses roadway improvements on major collector roads. The Bird Trail is classified as a major collector. So when we put these applications in, we put them in independent of each other. So like the Bird Trail through the non-urban committee for the road itself actually had road, curb and gutter and sidewalk to take it up a little ways up SR-12 and then do the roadway improvements at the intersection back about 300-400 feet. So we put that application in. It was not successful, but it was fairly close to the cutoff line. So hopefully next year, if you guys wanted to put that in, it's there. It could be successful next year to do that next. And so that's why there was wording basically stating that if both projects happen to have gotten funded, then they could concur, you know, then some of the costs like the sidewalk and curb and gutter overlap on. And so that's where that discussion came into play.
Thank you for that clarification. Okay, so my understanding of like the path itself, the selling point, so to speak, is the multi-use, right?
Correct.
And within the multi-use, you get the ADM. And I honestly don't know to who of the two of you I'm addressing this question, so perhaps both of you. So the ADA is a benefit of our community by having the multi-use path. But having the ADA and the proposal of switching it from the corral section up to the pavilion town park section is to make it ADA compliant. Does that mean that the parking lot itself would need to be paved because to go from gravel to pavement because the gravel itself is not ADA and then you're moving into an ADA compliant? Or is there not a distinction there? Or is it requiring the entire parking lot to be addressed as well?
No, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. They're almost two separate things because in that case, the restaurants aren't ADA compliant.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And
so they just need to, the path itself. So the connectivity
it's not necessarily how do we get everybody from the car to the park. It's we're providing a path that they can get to it.
I just wanted to make sure the clarification of that. Thank you.
Okay.
I think that this has been just as a comment of this. I think having the clarification and the information provided by the two of you is really essential. And I really appreciate both of your time in the evening. And I recognize that this has been perhaps a more complicated project than you're used to dealing with. And I think that's something for us as a community to learn from, of, you know, the process and the procedures that we follow and our own communication at different things. But I do think that as for the people and for the town council ourselves, having that, the actual answers and the information in front of us is very helpful. And I appreciate your time.
Anytime.
You're welcome.
Thanks to both of you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll continue and have another special meeting following, maybe in August then, the first part of August. Finish this out then. And Lyndon, if you would come again, we should, or at least Zoom it.
You never know. I might be over here.
Well, this might even, you know, as a council and as a community, we might realize that we need to have a work meeting and kind of work things out as a community before we go back to ask additional questions and to be respectful of their professional time and where we are as a in the process of it.
All right. Well, we'll do that. That sounds like a good idea. That way we can get input as to if things need to be changed, what we can do. I just hate to lose this money. I think it's a good deal. Definitely have learned some things, and I'm glad we had this discussion. So
let me give me a motion to leave the journal.
All in favor,
Steve? Yes,
Elizabeth? Yes,
yes,
Judy? Yes, Dave?
He said yes.
He said yes.
I did.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate you being on.
What? Well, is it with you? I don't know. I mean, you know,